If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go and have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's The Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
It's The Rush Hour, Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo. Rate Rise. We copped another one yesterday. And I'm hearing mixed reports of there's more on the way. I heard one expert say we're going to reach some absurd level by March next year, and then
how happy
bossy.
Are you that you just bought a house?
Oh, I mean,
do you know the first house
like
I
comedy,
bought?
Comedy timing's everything, Lisa.
First house I bought, I fixed 8.85. That was my first house.
Well, my parents had 18%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you
were
buying
houses
a house
were 30, for like $30,000.
$25,000. Yeah. It's where the back in the day where you'd get from $5, you could buy a house, a pie, and a soft drink at lunch.
Exactly.
Anyway, interest rates have gone up. And I love the response I got from my mum because I got home yesterday and we got the family WhatsApp. And mum, quick as you can, as quick as you like, interest rate rises. Let's do Christmas gifts for Quinn and Mac, my kids. Only, what do you think? Essentially saying to my brother and I and our partners, no presents for the adults. Presents are off the table. Christmas is cancelled. Only the kids get
is
Christmas.
Is that because your mother's concerned about that, about herself or for you?
No, because they've paid off their joint.
So concerned
but my brother
about
and
you.
I both have a mortgage. Oh. And she's like, oh, don't worry about Christmas presents.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think kids get too many presents anyway.
Oh, no, we still have to buy for the kids.
Yeah. But like then
for
having
ourselves.
To, well, who, parents, adults don't need presents.
I think we can tighten the belt elsewhere. I don't think we need to cancel Christmas.
Yeah, but you can go easy on the present. You could do a Kris Kringle where you just buy one present.
That's what Alana suggested. Yeah,
we
that's
do a
easy.
Kris Kringle in our house.
What's the rules?
So there is 5, 10, 12, there's 12 adults, right? Yeah. And we all have to spend $150 on one person, and there's an actual draw. So we
see, that's reasonable. You get a good present.
Yeah, you get a good present, and there's been some contention at different times. People want to go higher.
Oh, don't do that.
It's $150.
Yeah.
Right? So whether or not, and you can get some good stuff.
Oh,
sometimes we've themed it, you know,
clever.
And so for the kids, if you want to buy something for the kids, you buy something for the kids.
Sure.
We don't put a price on it. You know, we haven't got a lot of cousins in our house. Like, I haven't got a lot of nieces and nephews. I've only got two of them. So I just go bang. And so, you know, for my family in Sydney, it is a lot.
I like that.
Yeah,
you know, there's a game you can play, and it's like you buy one good present and one shit present, and it's like a Russian roulette what you get. So it goes around, everyone opens it, and if you open yours and you want to steal someone else's, you can steal it.
We have that. We do that sometimes.
I've ended up with a Sea Folly hat. I was very impressed.
You can steal others.
Was that the good present?
No, it's a straw hat. Like it's over $100 straw hat. But the person that we were playing this game with ended up with the inflatable avocado that I bought, and they weren't impressed.
That's a shit present.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we do that Kris Kringle setup, and I brought my brother-in-law an air fryer.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think he liked it.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
I'll have it.
I just got the vibe, and when he opened it, he's like, okay.
I bought this for you for your wedding present.
Yeah, it was funny because when we moved into our new house, he was like, do you guys need
an air fryer?
Ended up pretty quick. Anyway, Christmas is cancelled in my family because of the bloody interest rate rises.
Boo.
Unreal.
Big story today, a little bit of AFL chat to start the show. The Essendon Bombers, look, it was a season to forget. They ended up sacking their coach. They got a new president. And now they have a new CEO, or at least they did, because on Monday, Andrew Thornburn, who's the ex-CEO of NAB, he was appointed to the role. And then yesterday, 30 hours in, he resigned. This is off the back of him being the chairman of a church in Melbourne, which has published a series of articles critical of homosexuality and abortion.
Is this the conversation I heard you and Dobbo having this afternoon that went for 30 minutes and it was very, very animated?
I don't know.
This is exactly what we were discussing.
Yes, but I don't know if it was animated, and I don't know whether or not I don't think it was heated. I completely disagree with the fact that Andrew Thornburn has had to stand down. I cannot believe it. And this is the reason why. Yes, he is a chairman of a church, that has printed views on a website with old out of and it's views and quotes from the Old Testament, which we all know in my opinion is archaic. Now, I'm of the belief I'm a Catholic, right? I don't push it on anybody, but you know, there's people in the Catholic Church that have done hideous things, have done unbelievably bad things, have said things, and have used the Bible to hide behind the Bible. And at no point does that affect their employment. At no point does what their religious belief come into or whether or not that affects their job. Now, this bloke has not pushed the views. Yes, the church that he is a part of has, but they are not his views.
Well, he's not just a part of it. He's the chairman of it, of that church.
Well, he's on the board of the church. Like, he's one of, of the leaders.
But I think, and this is where you and I were discuss, and this is where we disagree. Because, and look, I think the president of the Essendon Football Club, David Barham, said that it's illegal to ask people about their religious beliefs in a job interview.
Sure.
And I don't begrudge anybody their religious beliefs. But I like the Essendon Football Club, as a sporting organisation, has taken a stance and said that your involvement, because they haven't asked him to denounce his beliefs, what they've said is, we can't have you be the CEO of our organisation whilst you are also the chairman of this church, which have these views within your community.
And as which David Barham said today too, he was saying the AFL and Essendon in particular are working very hard on building good culture, bringing in the right people to make sure that their club is going in the right direction in terms of inclusion, in terms of differing views and whatever it is. So they've had issues in the past. They're working very hard to change that.
I'm going to just give you a comparison here, and this is obviously a discussion, but there are millions and millions of wonderful people of Muslim faith.
Mm-hmm.
We agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Muslim players play AFL.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get tarnished because the book, the Quran, some people quote different things and treat and hideous. Like, I mean, okay, those people who are a part of that faith, who believe in that faith, who practice that faith, who do that, never ever get discriminated against and play in that sport. Because the CEO, because of that church, and it's the Christian, you're individualizing it to this church.
Yeah.
All these Christian faiths and there's, Hillsong, Nexus, all these wonderful, millions of wonderful people attend these churches. And there is some people with some very, very poor views, in my opinion, that have, and we're saying to this bloke, oh, because you're a link to that, you can't, I'm sorry, I think it should not have a place in it. It's hypocritical, and I can tell you what
it
is.
It's not hypocritical, though.
Liam.
You talk about those Muslim players in any sport, right? They're not the chairman of churches. They have a belief in a set of...
Some are. I know players. I know rugby league players that are part of churches and very heavily involved.
Right, but they're not the CEO of these organisations.
No, but what's more important? You want to talk about a role model. A player is a role model. A CEO is behind the doors.
The CEO is the leader of these organisations, Dobbo.
Okay. Tell me who the CEO of the North Queensland Cowboys is.
I don't know.
Who's the 5'8 for the North Queensland Cowboys?
It's Tom Dearden.
Thank you. You know the 5'8". You don't know. I mean, we're putting so much. This is what's happened. And some sponsorship company said, hey, mate, this bloke, if you're going to support this bloke, we're going to pull our sponsorship and funding. And they've gone, we're not going to get the money. I get what you're saying. But I think really we're saying to a CEO who was the head of NAB. Mm. He was the managing director of the NAB. Hey, mate, because you've got some belief.
It's not his beliefs.
No, it's what the church has said. But, mate, the Catholic Church have said so many horrific things, and I'm a proud Catholic.
But it's his position as the chairman of that church that's the issue. They're saying that Essendon said to him, you can't be the CEO of our club and the chairman of this church because of what we as a football club want to stand for. And I personally, again, it's all personal beliefs.
History will show that in football clubs all across Australia, there is off-field incidents. Let's see how they next handle the next one where a female is treated poorly or something like that, and whether or not they're as strong with their views as they are on this one. Because I can tell you, and just for the record, I don't agree with what that church is saying.
No, of course.
I just think, seriously, in this day and age, they're actually, what they're doing is exactly what that church is doing in a way. They're actually, it's very similar with the views. It's just a different way of going about it.
Let's agree to disagree on this one. This weekend, it's the Supercars Grand Final. The Bathurst 1000 at the Mountain. The greatest race on the road in Australia. In fact, the world. Let's call it what it is.
You glue yourself to the couch for the entire race. It's the best. You get people to bring you food because it's just so good.
That's right. Exactly. And this man will be competing for the third time. He is 19 years of age, and yet he is set to compete in his third ever Bathurst. He is friend of the show. He is a Gold Coast legend, Mr. Brock Feeney. How are you, Brock?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
How exciting. I mean, where does Bathurst rate in the Supercar Series? Is it just another race, or is this the Grand Poobah every year that you build towards?
Oh, this is it for us. You know, it's the Melbourne Cup of Supercar racing, and it's sort of the race that even if you don't follow it, you've certainly heard about it. So for us drivers, it's a lot more than any other race. And in fact, we have two drivers per car this weekend. So, it's certainly one we all look forward to. And it's finally here.
It's certainly unfortunate that the weather is so bad this weekend. I saw that Orange, not far from Bathurst, has got a top of 12 today. Does that make it more pleasant in the car that it's a little bit cooler for you?
It's probably going to be cooler, but it's probably going to be a lot harder as well. We got a lot of rain forecast over the weekend, and for us guys, we're going to sit in a car and be nice and dry, but for the poor fans up on the hill, it's going to be nice and muddy.
Brock, you're driving alongside Jamie Whincup. How is he as a mentor? Yeah, he's not bad, but he could probably do a bit better. What is he like as a mentor? What does he tell you to do when you're racing around Mount Panorama?
Well, I suppose it's a first for me this weekend. You know, having him as my co-driver just sounds very silly. So we've got two main drivers this weekend is what I'm saying. But it's my first time sort of seeing Jamie in the races, got his races cap on. So there's going to be so much for me to learn this weekend off him. And we're both going to be pushing each other and the team to try and get a good result.
Now, Brock, if I say the name Patrick Wallace, what does that mean to you?
My school principal.
That's right. Now, last time we had you on this show earlier this year, we joked about the idea of getting the car park named after you at All Saints Anglican School, where you went to school on the coast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have put in a phone call to Patrick Wallace earlier today, and we pitched the idea on the condition, we said, if Brock does the unthinkable and wins Bathurst this
weekend.
Well,
it's not unthinkable.
Sorry, yeah, good point. If Brock,
that's a bit hard.
Sorry, yeah.
If as expected,
Brock takes out the checkered flag this weekend at Bathurst, can we get the wheels in motion to have the car park at the school named in his honour? This is what Patrick had to say.
Well, it's such an inspired idea. First of all, our car park doesn't have a name. What happens in the car park at drop-off and pick-up times gets called many things, but it doesn't have an official name. I think it's a splendid idea.
He's on board.
So
this is it, Brock.
That's very cool.
You are not just racing for the checkered flag and for the accolade of becoming the youngest ever Bathurst winner. You'd beat Rick Kelly's title if you won it this weekend. But you are also racing to have the car park at the All Saints Anglican School named in your honour.
Geez, that's the biggest prize of them all.
Yeah, I don't think worrying about the trophy, spraying the champagne, any of that means nothing. We will go there and we will plaque the joint.
Yep.
And we will have you there. It could be an unveiling,
That'd
I suspect.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Gee, at my school, I won an Olympic gold medal and my school did nothing for me.
Nothing.
I didn't get anything.
It shows where Bathurst and motor racing and swimming, where they rank.
So, Brock, we don't mean to amp the pressure up, but there is a car park on the line for you this weekend.
Yeah. Geez, the pressure is on. There. Well, hopefully we can get it done. I wouldn't mind that. It'd be good to go back to school and see that.
Yeah? Get a crack a doughy in the car park?
Exactly. Maybe
you're on. I'd say you'd have to Chris. You just do a neat note right around in a circle.
Bring the 888 car down, crack a doughy, smoke it up, burn them up in the car park. Admittedly, we didn't clear that part with the story.
No, so, that's not.
Yeah, no, we'll sort that out.
Yeah. Hey, Brock, an absolute pleasure to have you come on. Huge weekend coming up for you and all the other supercar drivers this weekend. It is the grand final of the supercars this series this weekend at Bathurst. Enjoy the race. Go well. And we can't wait to see you take out the checkered flag.
Thanks very much, guys. And, yeah, hope you have a good weekend watching it.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, and I shared this story with you, that I was sitting on a winning lotto ticket.
It even felt good.
That you thought was a winning lotto
ticket. Well, I'm of the belief that it's not only good, but it was going to set my freedom up forever. I was walking past the Brassel News Agency one Saturday morning, and I got some energy within myself that today is the right day to go and buy a lotto ticket. Not any lotto ticket.
Within myself.
No. I paid $64 for it, and I know that it's a winner.
You'd started spending irresponsibly. So yeah. Confident
well,
were you?
I just knew that it was the right ticket, and that, you know, saving at this time, I didn't have to worry about it.
It wasn't necessary. You didn't need to. You're a millionaire.
I had the golden casket ticket, mate, right there. And I showed you guys. Did I even let you hold it?
You let me hold it. Liam didn't touch it.
No.
We've got an issue.
What's happened?
Well, I was away last week because of the rugby. No. Worse than that. It's won. We know it's won. I know it's won. The day I got it, the minute the lady put it in my hand. I haven't cashed it in. I was away on the weekend for the rugby league grand final, and I had it sitting on my desk with some other paper that have been
junk.
It could have been perceived as junk to the person that doesn't know.
To the uneducated who didn't know about the energy in the ticket.
I'm not calling people in my life who I'm married to uneducated.
I was going to say, just you and Amity in the house.
Yeah,
she's quite educated.
She decides to have a spring clean.
Oh, no.
So when I get back on Monday afternoon, I just want to look at the ticket because I just want to feel that I'm secure and safe because I've got wealth. It's in my hand. She's throwing the ticket out. And not only is she throwing it out, she's given me that, well, you should have cashed it in if you were that positive that it was going to be that.
What an idiot. What an idiot she is.
How did that conversation go down? Not well.
No, I'm still upset about it. And so there is a garbologist out there.
That's carrying $1 million in his bin.
That on Monday morning when the bins were collected and then whatever recycle waste program they went off to, there is a multi-million-dollar lotto ticket now somewhere floating around the Brisbane City Council or the Ipswich Council waste facility.
You've thrown away multi-millions of dollars.
Well, it was a $5 million prize, Liesl. Now, I'm suggesting that even if I won half of that, there's $2.5 million in the ticket and it's gone.
At worst, you've thrown away $64. If it won, you know. Nothing.
Oh, yes, a division
You've won 64
one.
Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I
no,
get
what
that,
is it? Division
but you've,
10.
It's not. It's more than that. I know it's more than that.
It's a bit. There's that famous story of the English fella who tossed out a hard drive that had $150 million worth of Bitcoin on it.
That's right.
And he's now still petitioning the council in South Wales to allow him to dig on the site to look for it because he's convinced that's where it's ended up. Oh. He's investing in artificial intelligence software
to help him
hunt for this hard drive.
What's $150 million?
If you don't know the PIN code to your crypto, you never get it back.
No,
and there's
that's
that other one.
Yeah.
He's got one chance left on a thing worth, you know, however many millions in crypto.
Well, my grandmother, when she got married in 1948 or whatever it was, had this beautiful dress and it went into a trunk to go into the garage to go into storage. Someone picked up the wrong trunk and it went to St. Vincent de Paul, and it ended up in the shop, this most beautiful, magnificent wedding dress, and it's gone.
That would have been the dress you could have got married in.
Oh, no, it was so small.
Oh, okay.
There's no way I'd fit into it with my broad shoulders. But it disappeared. It got chucked out.
Oh. Well, this is the point. From maybe winning lottery tickets to wedding dresses to Bitcoin, people throw things away, and it's inevitably when a partner decides to do a spring clean.
Valuable things get thrown out mistakenly never ever find for the sight of day.
133353.
Are you a millionaire gone wrong like me?
What valuable thing got thrown away?
Had nothing to do with it. You weren't aware of it.
Yep.
And then you're ruining the day like my millions
and
gone.
And Doberman, tell us who threw it away. Vent.
Tonya from Redland Bay. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What got turfed?
my wedding ring.
Oh, no.
What? How?
Well, my husband bought the wedding ring and he had it all ready for when we moved, flew up to Brisbane to have the wedding with the family. And he put it in one of his old work shirts in the cupboard. And a few weeks later, he said, oh, I don't need those shirts. I said, all right, I'll toss them out. So I tossed all the shirts out with the ring in it and it was gone. So we had to go and order another one.
Oh. Insurance?
None.
Oh, no.
Tonya.
How much was the original ring worth?
$3,000.
Oh, Tonya.
So $6,000 is sitting on my finger right now.
So you got at least you got an upgrade. There's always a silver lining to dropping out of
it. It was a $3,000 ring plus the $3,000 that's in the bin. Oh, no.
Well, Tonya, we're glad it got replaced. Hey, we got a double for you to get along to see the Boost Mobile Gold Coast 500.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much.
Not a worry. The party is back. Boost Mobile Gold Coast 500 this October 28th to the 30th.
Jeff from Ipswich, what got thrown away?
So I went on an exercise. I joined the army and left all my stuff at home before I moved out. And when I came back to move out, I said, well, where's my record collection? Told, oh, your brother's got it. Oh, okay. So I went to my brother and said, where's my record collection? Oh, yeah. Here it is. And he said, I said, well, okay, what about these ones? He said, oh, I swapped them.
What?
And what he had done is he had swapped a bootleg Bill Haley and the Comets live worth, at the time someone tried to buy it off me for about $800. He swapped it for Kiss Alive and it was scratched.
No.
That's a bad trade.
Hey, Jeff, have you been brave enough to look up what that Haley and the Comets record would be worth these days?
The last time I spoke to anyone, it was about $8,000.
Oh,
$8,000.
It was a bootleg and like one of the original cuts.
Oh, that is devastating.
Can you put a proper sign on Detroit Rock City?
Yes, you can. Rubbish.
The triple header. You just love it when rugby league players at different times show that they are absolutely clueless about what really is important and how playing in a team is important. It comes out and they just show you like a beacon how they actually don't get it. Ryan Madison obviously is a big-time player at Parramatta. He was going to go to the Dolphins, but he reneged, in fact. He agreed with Wayne Bennett. Got suspended for 3 weeks in the grand final on a crusher tackle.
Yeah.
Or a $4,000 fine. So it was a grade three. You get obviously a $4,000 fine or take the 3 weeks. Refusing to pay the $4,000. And it's going to sit out the first 3 weeks of the competition in 2023 because of his arrogance, because of his stupidity, and because of his principles that he didn't do anything wrong.
Parramatta must be furious.
Yeah.
This is a team that's just lost the grand final. Who would want to come out of the blocks firing next year, Dobbo? Yep. And now they're going to be without probably their best edge rower.
Yeah, and this is what you're dealing with. Sometimes you've just got to say, mate, pack your port. You're a good player. You did the wrong thing at the West Tigers. You screwed us around here at Parramatta with Dutch hotshooting us off against the Dolphins. You've let the Dolphins down. Off you go.
I did the maths on his contract, Dobbo. He's on a reported $600,000 a year. Now, after tax, that works out to be $29,000 a month.
Oh, not bad.
$1,000 a day, if you want to break it down even further. 4 days' work he refused to fork out. Instead, he's going to sit out those first 3 games of the
year. Yet he would like to punish the other players in the Parramatta team by not playing.
The rest of the team.
Yeah, that's great.
Bye-bye.
Hey, to the world of basketball, I'm going to give you a name. Now, right now, arguably the best player in the game is a Greek fellow by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hard to pronounce.
Greek freak.
The Greek freak. Hard to pronounce. Well, there's another superstar on the way with a difficult name as well. French 18-year-old Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, great name.
Victor Wembanyama is an 18-year-old 7'4" phenom, the likes of which basketball has never seen before. He will be the number one draft pick at the next draft. He played an exhibition game today as part of the these off preseason games that are going on. It's predicted off the back of his performance today that there will be some teams in the NBA who are prepared to tank their season and go 0-82.
To get him,
to guarantee themselves the number one draft pick in the next draft, they reckon there'll be some teams that will just basically say, we're not winning a game. We want this kid that badly.
Oh, wow.
7'4". To think about it, that's 10 centimetres taller than Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines is a man mountain for the Brisbane Bullets.
And is he a big...
Oh, he's not. He's length. Lean, he's just tall. Lean. And he moves like a point guard. This kid is a once-in-a-generation player. Victor Wembanyama. Say it with me, Liesl.
Victor Wembanyama.
Nailed it, Dobbo. Remember the name.
What about me? No?
You're okay.
Ah, okay.
Tino Fasua Malawi.
Tino Fasua Malawi.
See, you nailed it.
I liked it. Jordan Courtney Perkins is another name on everybody's lips because he's back in Brizzy and he's back playing for the Brisbane Roar. He's signed a one-year loan deal. He was the youngest player at 16 to play.
16.
That's so young. But also, I was looking at the other ages. There's 14-year-olds that play football around the world in the Northern Mariana Islands, which is just off the coast of Guam. But anyway, he's back.
Who'd be a 14-year-old and succeeding at the world level?
Why would you?
Come on.
Honestly. Idiots. Anyway, he's 19 years old and he's back now. He's playing over in Poland. So he's pretty happy to be back in the orange, back for the A-League and back for the 2022-2023 A-League season.
How's that? A stint overseas and he comes back and he's still a 19-year-old.
I know.
I love
still
that.
Still a youngster.
There is your sporting news. All thanks to Totally Work. We're Totally Workwear for all your work gear, all locally owned with the biggest brands and best service throughout Brisbane and the Gold Coast. This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Nick Giannopoulos joins us next. 22 years ago, in fact, there was a little Aussie film by the name of The Wog Boy that went nuts.
Mate, they saluted the ultimate wog of all, Travolta. I love that. I love that movie.
It is one of the highest grossing Aussie films of all time, still to this day. It smashed records when it came out. Then there was the sequel, Kings of Mykonos, and there is a third film coming out. We are so excited about this. Wog Boys Forever, and the creator, the mastermind behind this film franchise and one of the greats of Australian comedy, Nick Giannopoulos, joins us on the show. G'day, Nick.
Oh, what a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much. Great to be on.
I'm lucky enough, and I'll paint the picture. I'm working in a stock camp in the Northern Territory in 96. I come back, and I started sort of hustling this girl, and her name was Rebecca Costa. And she says to me, I want to take you to the theatre. And I'm like, I'm dead set being in a stock camp. And I go to the Enmore Theatre in Sydney to see Wogs Out of Work. Not a word of a lie. This was my first introduction.
Did you say 96?
This was 96, 96
yeah,
or 97.
That stage show was Wog Boys.
Wog Boys, yeah, right.
With me and Colosimo.
Yeah, yeah. And so dead set, I thought not only am I going to get bashed in the theatre because I was the only white Caucasian Aussie, yeah, right, but dead set, I laughed so hard and I was like, mate, this is the funniest thing. And, mate, they transferred it in this movie. And, mate, I've shown my – I've got a 17-year-old son, mate. I play it to him, like, all the time now. He goes, Dad, how do they get away with this shit then? He said,
I can feel your son in on a few things.
Yeah.
It's because that's what we call – what we got called real kids, wogs. Yeah. Mate, I didn't ask to be a wog. I just got lucky.
Nick, did you know back, as Dobbo said, 1996, this thing stretches almost to 30 years now. Did you know that this was the gold mine, the hit when you created it?
Nah, mate. I put half the money up for this one. I had my house on it. And back then, Screen Australia kind of liked me and gave me the other half.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting anything like that. And it just, you know, it was incredible what happened. We broke Crocodile Dundee's box office weekend record that opening weekend. All of a sudden, I could get into any club in town. You know what I mean? I was meeting Olympians like, you know, Liesl Jones. I got tickets to the 2000 Olympics, mate. I was on the cover of Who Weekly.
Who Weekly?
Never again, just once, just the one time.
What about TV Week? Did you make that one?
TV Week? Nah, mate, my nose is too big for the TV Week cover. Not big enough.
The muscle car that you got around, the muscle car that you drove around in, mate.
In the Wog Boys?
Wog Boys. Who owned it?
Mate, great story about that car. So it's Valiant 69 Regal Pacer.
Yeah.
The guy who owned it, the car was a shitbox. We got it going for one day, and luckily that's the day we had all the driving through. The next day, the thing broke. Oh, sorry, I just swore. Get that 7-second delay ready with me, boys and girls. So anyway, cut a long story short, mate, the thing broke down the second day, and we had to push it everywhere, you know? So when the film finished, right, you think the guy would hang on to it. It might have some value, especially when the film did so well. You know what he did?
He
tore it apart and sold it for parts.
He scrapped it. No way. That car now, dead set, $100,000. Could be worth $100,000. Could be worth $100,000. Easy. You're like, not a word
correct
of a lie.
But here's the great story I'm going to tell you. For this film, and I have never told this story in the whole publicity 2 or 3 weeks, so you're getting a Triple M exclusive here, guys. So I thought, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the car back, right? Because it's disappeared. It's no more. The car is gone. There happens to be a young gentleman in Geelong who's such a big fan. He's gone to the most enormous lengths to find the same car and do it up exactly the same as the Wog Boy car in the first build.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
And this gentleman's name is Michael, and it's his car that we're using in this film. And look, if you're a real valiant buff, yeah, you'll notice a couple little things. Yeah, you know, oh, you know, mate, that's got the red line on the thing. You know, as they pulled me up at the premiere, all the valiant aficionados, you know.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, mate, who cares?
Yeah, we don't listen to them. Nick, mate, in Wog Boy 3.
Car guys are crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like that scoop or what?
I love that scoop,
amazing,
mate.
Oh.
As long as it's got the same note as Wog Boy 1, mate, I love that note. You just sit there and give it a couple of hits, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, mate, I was the first night they had the sound too low. And I went up to the projection booth, or whatever they call it now. I said, mate, put it up to 11. The Valiant's about to come on. And they subwoofers in that cinema nearly blew apart. It's like,
I love a subwoofer.
And it was better for those guys in that cinema. It was better than watching a porno, mate. It really was.
That's amazing.
They all had stiffies. The whole cinema had a stiffy.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard the word stiffy in so long. It's the best word.
Oh, you've heard it, Lethal.
No, and just not in ages. Yeah. I just think it's so great. Anyway. Nick, Wog Boy 3.
Stiffy's still around. Spunk's still around. And you know what else is still around? Wanker.
Yes. Nothing sums it up better. Wog Boy 3, have you ever thought, we've got some great Greek tennis players at the moment. Thanasi Kokkinakis. Does he get a starring role at all? Or have you ever thought about using some great Aussie?
Look, I'm not name dropping, but he's a good mate of mine, Thanasi. He's a good boy. But I did think about doing a couple of Nick Kyrgios jokes, but I thought, maybe not, because he might like an invite me to his player box.
Oh, true, true.
And who'd want to sit Nick Kyrgios's player box?
Just get abused the whole time.
It looks like an 80s aerobic class. They're up and down every 2 seconds.
Tell you what,
Richard Simmons shows from the 80s.
Thanasi look good on the big
Nick
screen.
Yells at you.
Now, Nick, the title, Wog Boys Forever, right?
Yeah.
Are we still allowed to say the word? You know,
well,
the
you just
times
did, mate.
Yeah, I know, but am I going to get in trouble
letter,
for this?
Mate. You're going to get a letter.
Am I going to get cancelled for using the
culture.
Term?
Mate, we're all going to get cancelled eventually the way things are going, so don't worry about it. You know? If you're going to listen, if any of you three are going to dare attempt to do any sort of Aussie humour, watch out.
Yeah.
They're all watching. Canberra will be on to you in 2 seconds, mate, even though there's a Wog Prime Minister right now.
Yeah. Well, this is it. We're of the belief that this is the first ever ethnic.
No, you're wrong. Menzies was a big Wog.
Was he?
Yeah. Changed his name from Menzisopoulos. Mate, plucked his monobrow, right? and used part of it as a mustache. Menzies was a big mate. People like, another Triple M scoop just for you.
Yeah.
Menzies was the biggest Wog going around. How did the German so much, mate? And the Italian.
Yeah.
Mate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Hey, Nick, what was it like?
Albo is our first Wog. But I know what you're going to ask me. Does he call himself a Wog?
Yes.
I reckon the privacy of his home at his dinner table, he probably does.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I don't think he'd ever say it in front of camera, mate.
Nick, was it like to get the band back together with Vince, you know, your good mate, Vince Colosimo, back alongside you on the screen? What's that like? Is it just like, you know, a comfortable pair of slippers with the two of you, or do you have to work to get the chemistry back?
Listen, let's get this interview really going now. Let's do some plugging here, all right? Enough of this other stuff. Yeah. Yes, it was fantastic to get the band back together, and Vince is very funny in this film, as he always is. And I've also got Sushi Mango in the film, who are absolutely hilarious in the film. And I found the guys on the internet in 16, and we did a couple of stage shows together, Wogs at Work 17 and Star Wogs in 18. So I got to know each other well, and boy, have they come a long way since then.
Bloody hell.
And they're a big part of this film, mate, and they really freshen up the whole kind of franchise, simply being in it. And I love working with them. So, yeah, what can I say? I've got the all-star Wog cast, mate.
Can I ask, in the terms of trilogies, and we've compared, like, yesterday, like, I'm a bit annoyed that American Pie are going for a fourth installment after three, and obviously, you know, Terminator's gone three times, and Rocky, they went five. How would you rate Wog Boys 3 in the category? Like, you know, will it top the Crocodile Dundee 3 that they attempted? You know, you're a box office hit when Crocodile Dundee 1 came out. Where would you rate it?
Oh, mate, it's my favourite of the three. And I'm going to ask you a trivia question now. Wog Boys 3 is my favourite. What's the other only other Australian franchise to go to 3 movies, apart from Dundee?
To go to Come 3 on. Movies.
There's one more. There's Wog Boys. There's the Wog Boy films.
Is there a Babe 3?
No.
Does Wolverine count?
No.
That's Wolverine. Not
Australian. It's got an Australian in it with an American accent and big claws.
I got no idea.
What is it?
Oh, God.
Oh, man, from Snowy River.
No, there was only two of those.
There was only two of them. I have no idea.
Come on. Mad?
Mad Max.
Mad Max, of course.
Thunderdome. Unbelievable.
Mate.
We've just all had our passports revoked. That is a disgrace.
Yeah, it is bad. We can't.
You want diversity in one sentence, right there? Dundee, Mad Max, Wog Boys.
There you go.
One sentence.
Nick Giannopoulos, the star and the creator of the fantastic Wog Boys franchise. Wog Boys Forever hits cinemas tomorrow.
Awesome.
This is it. Get out there. No. Go and see it. Go and see it. This is
please go and see it, guys. Please.
Let's
get off your ass. Don't be a tight ass. Don't wait for it to come on streaming. All right.
Let's smash any remaining box office records for this fantastic Aussie franchise.
I've got Wog Boys 4 ready to go. Wog Boys on the pension is ready to go.
It's in the canister. Nick, thank you so much for coming on the Rush Hour, and congratulations on this not just this film, but this tremendous career that has spanned almost 4 decades now. Congratulations and good luck with the film.
Thanks, guys. And can I say this? I really enjoyed being on your show. I really did. Thank you.
We need to talk about a serious issue that's going on in Queensland at the moment, and it's to do with ramping from a health services perspective. For those that don't know, ramping is the practice of requiring paramedics to continue to care for patients rather than hand them over to clinical responsibility to the emergency department. So essentially people getting picked up in ambulances and having to be treated in the ambulance because they can't get in to the emergency department.
Massive, massive issues.
Huge, particularly in Queensland where this is almost unfathomable. It's the highest ever ramping rate in Queensland at the moment, at 73%.
But didn't we come out as worse in Australia?
It's the worst in Australia. It's the worst.
I want to say this now, before we even start doing this. I feel beyond sorrow for the men and women who have sacrificed their time to become paramedics and ambulance and part of the ambulance, Queensland Ambulance. They work tirelessly. They cop so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, from when they get to an accident, having to deal with the abuse they cop, they're endangered. They then have to wait. They have patience. It is beyond a joke.
Mm.
Same goes with the nurses. This is not enough doctors, not enough nurses, not enough beds, more people getting sick, pandemic. The ambulance officers have to then go and take it forward. It is a vicious cycle. And guess what? They're overworked.
Mm. Underpaid.
Yep.
They are underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
It's thankless.
Mental health issues.
How
that are
often do we go
that?
And say to an ambulance officer, hey, mate, thank you so much.
No, they
you
cop, saved they our
life.
A spray.
You saved our life. You did the best you could to get here. You absolutely put everything else that's going on in your own life to help us.
And then that's the thing that they can't then deliver the patient to the hospital. So then they're caught up in delayed responses to picking up other people.
This data is scary, right? Mm. Because at the beginning of the year, we spoke about this earlier on in the year, and the numbers at that point basically suggested that 1 out of every 2 people were having to be ramped, having to be treated by the ambos. This new data, these new rates basically mean that 3 out of every 4 people are having to be treated in the ambulance because they can't be transferred to the emergency department at Queensland Hospital.
They're waiting 30 minutes or more sometimes. And these are people in critical issues.
Now, we've read all these stats, and I know we spoke about it earlier in the year, but when these stats come out, sometimes it can kind of wash over and it could be over-dramatised.
Mm.
But we want to get an understanding of what this ramping actually means on the ground for people. And it's and for the hospital workers and for people trying to be treated.
Kevin in Oxenford, what's been your experience with ramping?
I had to get an ambulance on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it was pretty, a bit of a drama. And anyway, it took about 45 minutes, 50 minutes to get an ambulance. And I'm at Oxenford. They came from Springwood. to take me to Parkwood, basically.
So Oxenford's halfway down the coast from Springwood out west.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Kev, once the ambulance turns up, takes a while, which is never ideal if you're calling an ambulance. But when you got to the hospital, were they essentially able to drop you off and continue on their way?
No, mate, no. They had to wait with me for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, I think. They couldn't get in the door. They couldn't get the code for the door because they're not down here. They don't work down here. And, so when I got in there, I had to wait for about 30 minutes to get in to actually get it off the ambo bed into the hospital bed.
Wow.
Unreal.
It's not ideal. Thank you for your call, Kev.
Hey, Dave, good afternoon, mate. Your son went to hospital.
Yes, Dubbo. Went to Gold Coast University Hospital for a day surgery and dropped him off at 7 in the morning and get a call in the afternoon at 4 o'clock saying, Dad, can you come and pick me up? They couldn't fit me in today.
Oh, my God.
7 o'clock in the morning, he was booked to go back in. So down we go again to Gold Coast University Hospital, 7 o'clock. Drop him off, get a call at 10 o'clock in the morning. Dad, can you come and pick me up? And take me down to Robina. They're waiting for me at Robina. They can't fit me in here. They blame COVID for it and all that sort of stuff and shortages and stuff. But what I want to know is the government is spending all this money on the Olympics and all that garbage.
Yeah.
And they can't even tidy up their own backyard and look after the people that are living here.
You're speaking my language, mate.
It's just a load of garbage.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. Yeah.
Honestly.
It's and look, I Dave, thank you for the call, and thank you. I hope your son's okay. But I think, I think the Olympics are important, and they're going to be great for the economy.
Sure, I've done four of them, and I completely agree. I think the health of our state is the most important.
Health, housing, schooling. Three things. Get it right. We've
Sport
got a great
is
state.
Lovely entertainment, but our health is first and foremost the most important. Tracy at Carana Downs, what's your ramping experience?
Oh, hi. Yeah, my husband was taken away at 10 o'clock in the morning with chest pain.
Ooh.
And he was ramped for 5 hours at the Ipswich Hospital. And I had to sit in the waiting room with all these people and no one could tell us anything. The poor staff were so overwhelmed. I finally went back at 9 o'clock at night. He just got admitted to the ward. The same nurses and doctors were still on. The waiting room was chock-a-block. It was an absolute nightmare. I had no idea if my husband was alive or dead. They couldn't tell me. It was a nightmare.
And Tracy, I think what's so hard as well is your husband needs treatment. So sitting in an ambulance for 5 hours, that ambulance is not out helping other people because they can't get
the
out
worst
there.
Part about
that's
it.
The worst part.
That's exactly right. And he felt so terrible.
Oh no.
He was really in a lot of pain with his chest. He's only a younger man, he's 45, but still old enough to be having a massive heart attack.
I've been there, I've walked that track, Tracy. I've literally been the same. I'm 46. Happened to me in February. Yep.
And
I
then
know
that
it.
Guilt is put on the patient that's having heart issues. That's terrible.
Hey, Tracy, is your husband all right now? Has he bounced back?
Yes, he is. Thank you. But I felt so bad for the hospital staff. They were just so overwhelmed. And I went back at 10 o'clock at night and I said to the lady on the door, "You're still here?" She went, "Yes, I'm still here."
Tracy, thank you so much for calling up and sharing your experience with us. And I think Tracy made a really important point there. This is not about the hospital staff. This is not about the ambo drivers. It's not about the doctors, the nurses who are doing their best. It's the system.
Yeah.
Which just isn't working at the moment.
And it's not supporting us.
Now, Lisa and Dobbo, before we finish up, I have an apology to make to the show.
Ooh, what have you done?
I feel like I might have damaged the brand.
Oh.
You've done that on many occasions, but
this time it was... Look, the Kangaroos side has been named. Mal Meninga's picked the side for the upcoming World Cup. And Reuben Cotter, what a season he has had for the North Queensland Cowboys, made his State of Origin debut. They made it all the way to the prelim. He has been outstanding.
Yep.
And he's been named in this Kangaroo squad as well.
Right.
On Monday, the public holiday, I was at my local cafe. I'd been for a big ride with my brother-in-law. We'd finished up. We were doing the stereotypical cycling thing, grabbing a coffee after a ride, taking up space on the road with our bikes. And then we're having coffee. And I just looked out of the corner of my eye and said, "That looks like Reuben Cotter." Came wandering in to the cafe in Currumbin. And then I looked again. I'm like, it is Reuben Cotter. Oh. And he was carrying his little bub. Obviously,
yes.
That was the other conversation we had about Reuben this year, Dobbo, whether he should miss Origin.
Oh, that's right.
I'm very sure on that
child.
As well.
Yeah.
The infamous child.
Yeah, and the child was there. Anyway, before we left, before we packed up and went home, and my wife and kids came to meet us as well and have a coffee, and before we left, I thought, I'm going to go over and say good day and say congratulations on the season, because we've spoken to him on the show.
And we've spoken about him many times.
Exactly. So I wandered over, I said, g'day, Reuben. Liam from the Rush Hour with Liesl and Dobbo. Mate, well done on the season. Fantastic. Is this your baby daughter? We had a bit of a chat. He told me about his plans for the off-season, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, mate, great to meet you. Enjoy the off-season. Fantastic effort this year. And I walked off. Mm. And then I walked out the front and my wife was standing there and said, where were you? I said, I just went over and said good day to Reuben. I said, oh, wearing that?
Oh.
And it was only at that point that I looked down and I realised the ensemble I was sporting when I went over to say good day to this and represent the show.
I've seen your R.M. Williams boots. They're grubby and scruffy. So
what were you
I can
wearing,
only imagine.
Hobo?
I was still decked out in the Lycra.
So
bike pants,
modesty shorts.
No, and I wasn't rolling anything under the bike pants either.
Good.
So you know,
so you could see the outline.
Yeah, the tackle, yeah, the tackle was there. I wish it was bigger. Mm. The tackle was visible.
Big energy is what you're called.
I had decided for some reason to put the helmet on while I was speaking to Reuben. So I had a helmet on. I was in Lycra. I'd also taken off an undershirt, a long sleeve undershirt, because it was cold when we started the ride. I had that wrapped, draped around my neck.
Oh, like a sweater.
Tied at the front.
Nice.
But then the kicker was the fact that I picked up my 6-year-old's backpack, which is a mermaid backpack and has a big elaborate mermaid tail.
Cute.
At what point were you thinking, mate, maybe I've got a problem here, or you were completely unaware?
It didn't click. I was like, oh, I'll go over and say good day to
Reuben.
Did you
have cleats on?
Yeah,
oh,
cleats were on.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ashamed.
And in hindsight, it makes sense the look Reuben was giving me.
A little bit disapproving.
Just a look that said, who is this bloke?
What is wrong with
him?
It's
funny you should say that, because this will answer a lot of questions. Glenn Jackson, the NRL media manager for the Australian Kangaroos Tour, I texted him today and said, mate, any chance we could get Reuben Cotter? And he said, Dobbo, we've done all-ins. He's just said he's completely unavailable for your show.
For the next five years.
Thank you. Thank you for ruining any chance of we're getting Reuben Cotter back on that because
of
your dress standards.
My apologies to Reuben Cotter. My apologies to the show.
Yeah.
And I promise I'll be better.
Apologies to Triple M. You've ruined their brand.
Apologies to the M's. We got to get out of here. My apologies to the M's. Time for us to get out of here, Lisa.
Good evening. Good night.
Dobbo.
Farewell, my neighbours.
We'll see you tomorrow.
You took a punt on the Rush Hour. Now try Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet with Bluey this spring carnival. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.